So 1 Corinthians 12:1, concerning things of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. That's what he says. So if you are not going to be ignorant, you are going to understand. You are going to understand. And one of the things that he does to you, Titus 1:9, he says you will hold fast the faithful word that you have been taught, so that you are able to teach and contradict the gainsayers. So one of the proofs of understanding is your ability to communicate it. That's one of the proofs of understanding. Your ability to communicate a truth, you know, shows how much of that truth you understand. Now, I can tell you this, you know, after 2 decades of teaching the word, of preaching and teaching the word, I can tell you something, that the more I study a subject, the more I'm able to teach it. And now, the more I teach it, the more I understand it also when I'm studying it. Is that clear? So ministry actually makes you to study and know more. The more you will study, and the more you study, the more you will know, and the more you'll be able to communicate. Is that clear? Very good. So, I've said that, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. So we have 4 things there. We've talked about this for 2 years now. The gifts, the ministries, and what? The operations. What did I say? The gifts, the ministries, and then the operations. So we were able to, now verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it begins to mention 9 distinct things. Now, how do we know that they are distinct? How do we know that they are distinct? To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, that's distinct. To another, the word of knowledge, verse 8, by the same Spirit, that's distinct. So verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, that's distinct. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, that's distinct. Verse 10, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another send of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. So it says all this, that means it's not talking about one thing. So there is one manifestation, but there are different gifts of that manifestation. So we have distinctions in the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, having said that, we were able to look at this by the help of people like F.F. Bosworth, Howard Carter, and some other people like that. We're able to see, you know, 3 classifications that are safe to look at these distinctions. Number 1, the utterance gifts, where you have tongues, things that primarily deal with speaking, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and therefore prophecy. That's utterance gifts. The second classification will be the revelation gifts. That's a word of knowledge, that they show something, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. The third classification will be gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and the gift of faith. In that context, they do something. There will be an action. There will be a performance that you are going to see. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please run there briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now it says in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So there's a demonstration of the Spirit and there's a demonstration of power. Are they the same thing? No. They are from the same Holy Ghost. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:1, 12:11. All this work at the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. But it says there's a demonstration of Spirit and the demonstration of power. Now, whenever I hear the demonstration of the Spirit, it reveals, it talks about the first two, what is said and what is revealed. For instance, when you hear, and Agabus signified by the Spirit that there will be that there will be dearth in the earth, Acts 11, when Agabus prophesied. Now, if you observe that, Agabus obviously spoke utterance, then it signified, it showed them something, that's revelation by the Spirit. Now also when Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:14 he says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, my understanding is not fruitful. Verse 15, I will pray with the spirit, I'll pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, I'll sing with the understanding. He says, else when you bless with the spirit, how shall he that sit in the seat of the unlearned say, or quite say, or learned say, amen, that I give you thanks, seeing that he understands not what you say. He said, thou surely does well, you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now what he says is you bless with the spirit. The spirit. And that's utterance, tongues. You bless with the spirit. So we show with the spirit. We're blessed with the spirit. So the utterance gifts and the revelation gifts are primarily in the spirit. When I speak in tongues, it's in the spirit. The interpretation is in the spirit. Okay? Prophecy is in the spirit, by the spirit. A word of knowledge is from the spirit. I know it in the spirit. A word of wisdom is also in the spirit. I know it in the spirit. The sign of spirit is obviously in the spirit. So when you hear the demonstration of the spirit, you're talking about tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the sending of spirit. Now when you hear demonstration of power, now power is evident. Something that is evident is power. Now, power therefore will deal with the last three, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and gift of faith. So we're going to be doing some study, I'll just give you an introduction this week, on the power gifts. Amen? We'll just look at the power gifts, you know, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and gift of faith. And I would love to start with the gifts of healings. So having said that, you know, that the power gifts relate with those things that are done, you know, activities. They involve energy, you know, the flashing forth of power, ability. Now, the gifts of healing is in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 12. Curiously, it's the only gift that the word gifts is attached to. Those are the things we're going to pay attention to in verse 9. The gifts of healing. The first thing you should regularly see there is he applies gifts to it. So if we all agree that those 9 are gifts, and then he places special emphasis on healing, and it says the gifts of healing. And it is a one, he said the gifts of healing. In plural. In fact, some lexicon put it as gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. Now, there are different schools of thought about that, and we're going to examine all that. Some say that it's because of different diseases. You know, some say it's the different modes of healing the sick. And all that. We'll see all that, you know, what it means as we study. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the key thing is that, you see, when you talk about healing, obviously, you're talking about the demonstration of power. Healing definitely takes power. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Of course, the way the King James puts it is, and when I read this, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And power. What about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him? I mean, readily like that. I've heard, you know, people argue and say, well, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, you know, and power. They say, well, there's the anointing of the Spirit and there's the power. And I've heard people say that that power is a tangible power and so on and so forth. But you see, it's really careless reading. Notice it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Now that is readily understood from Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. That's obvious. Quoting from Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to 3. Now, in that sense, with power, went about doing good. So that means a characteristic of the anointing of the Spirit is power. So Jesus went about with power, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was in him. Because you cannot discuss healing without mentioning power. Whenever you talk about healing, you are talking about power. So, Acts 10:38, Peter zeroes in on Jesus' healing ministry. But there were a couple of things Jesus did that was not just healing. There were miracles, for instance. Look at John 2, when he was in John 2:11. Basically, this is the beginning of the miracles of Jesus, and he began to show forth his glory. When he multiplied, the wedding at Cana, that was not healing. Amen. That was not healing. Again, when you read the multiplication of the fish and bread, that was not healing. Praise God. When he walked on water, that was not healing. When he spoke to that woman in John 4 and told her, the woman said all that she ever did, and that was about marriage. Amen. That's all. He read a biography, just read about different people she married. And he said that by the Spirit. You understand? When he spoke about how the Holy Ghost will come upon them, this was prophetic. It was a prophecy. That was not healing. Praise God. When he had a vision in John Matthew 17, and Elijah and then Moses came, that was not healing. Praise the Lord. When he spotted that it was Judas that was going to betray him by the word of knowledge, that was not healing. Praise the Lord. So you discover there are so many things Jesus did that was not healing. And I mean, he did those things because of the anointing of the Spirit. Okay? So Acts 10:38 just talked about his healing ministry. And when you talk about the healing ministry, you are going to be talking about power. You are going to be talking about power. Now, of course, every other gift of the Spirit takes power, but you see, technically, only those three require power. And we'll see why. There's some study, you have to be technical about it. Now, I'll give you a small instance. Look at that Mark 5 example. We're going to still look through everything. Like I said, I'm just giving you an introduction. Look at that Mark 5 example where, from verse 25 to 34, where the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that she had said at home she had been sick, for 12 years. She didn't go better, she went worse. She went from hospital to hospital and then she just became worse. She was, it's called hemorrhage. That means she was just bleeding and it did not stop for 12 years. I've seen that kind of thing before. Not even once anyway. And she was bleeding seriously. I can imagine when women have their monthly menstrual period, how they look at it, and some of them are almost dreading. Somebody doesn't look forward to it. She just knows it's with her. It's like a sign and wonder. It's always with her. And then she now goes to Jesus, watch this, and she touches the hem of his clothes. And then Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And they asked him, "Why is he saying that?" I said, "Power just left me." A new power. Power just left me. So when you talk about healing, you are talking about power. There's power involved in healing. And I mean, power is tangible. So, say power left me. And we're going to see that, through the scriptures. Power left me. So Jesus knew that power, had just left his body and touched someone. Interestingly, don't forget that many people were touching his clothes. But touching his clothes and feeling the pulse of his clothes was not the healing power. The healing power is tangible. It came out of Jesus' body. The woman felt it in her body. That's power. Whereas when the word of knowledge is operation, utterance, there's nothing tangible about that. But when it comes to healing, It is a tangible operation. So that woman felt power in her body. Amen? Right. So, when you talk about the gifts of healing, actually, is the gifts of power to heal the sick. Now, let's examine a few things. Now, the word gifts, and this is where I want us to pay attention. I know next week I'm going to expand this a bit more. I just want us to start on the plane. He calls them gifts, and he uses the word charisma. Charisma. Now, charisma is from the word charis, where you have grace. But charisma carries a stronger word. Whenever you hear charisma, charisma a lot of times will deal with an endowment. Vines calls it a miraculous faculty. Something that now becomes a part of you. That is, if you have the gifts of healings, it is an endowment. Something that you have. Okay? And you really understand why in a moment. Or maybe not today. Today will not be a moment. But the gifts of healings are an endowment. Now, when you say endowment, please take note of that. I'll give you examples of endowment. So you understand what an endowment is. Now, the word gifts in the Bible has a lot to do with, some refer to gifts, where you give someone something and then he uses it and all that. But when you talk about charisma, you're talking about something that becomes part of the person. For instance, the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost was, everybody, people had the Holy Ghost under the Old Testament in the sense of, you know, he will come on them to prophesy, come on them to see visions and all that. But for the believer, John 7, verse 37, 38, says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now, the Holy Ghost is given. That means it becomes an endowment, something that now is a part of the believer. So, the Bible says, anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, 9. Has not. So, the Holy Spirit now is an endowment of the man that is born again. You have the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. Romans 5:17. You have righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So whenever you talk about, you know, the gifts of healings, you are referring to an endowment. Take note of that. So the question is that, are we endowed with several abilities? Or, just a single ability, you would see that that's the, where we begin to look at why the word gift is in plural in healing. Now, one important thing about endowment is when you use the word charisma is that you can point to where it is. You can point to where it is. Now, this will help people to be healed. It will help people to be healed. You can, when you talk about charisma, you can say it is here. Just like power. You know, let me try and give an example. You know how you take a tester. I want to know where power is in the whole place. You get my point. Now you can say, there's no power here. No, you have, maybe, cables all over the house. There's power here. That's an endowment. Power must be situated somewhere. You get that? It is somewhere. That, the way it says gifts of healings or the power gifts are situated somewhere. Now, look at that woman with the issue of blood. If I may touch the hem of garments, now she said, the hem of his garment. So she had a basic understanding that the power was somewhere. So, when you talk about the power gifts, they are the location. Is that clear? Okay. There is a location for power gifts. Now, let's examine that a bit. If I put something, I say, you must situate where the power is. I believe she was intelligent. That woman must have been intelligent. She must have been very intelligent. I mean, the way she went about it. Because, go back to Mark 5. Maybe we should look at it. Mark 5. Now, don't forget, Jesus had publicly announced that God has anointed him with the Holy Spirit. So, anytime and anywhere you see Jesus, he's anointed. Is that clear? Anywhere and anyhow you see Jesus, he's anointed. Jesus does not have to feel anointed. For him to be anointed, he is anointed. Now, in this case, Jesus was called earlier, you know, to go to the house of Jairus. You know, in verse 23. So as he began to go, much people thronged him. Do you know that at that point, where people were just pulling him and they were trying to get him out of, he would look ordinary. Because, I mean, he was not preaching. There was no keyboard playing. He was just looking ordinary and he was going to Jairus' house. And you know, at that point, I mean, I don't think the crowd even knew where he was going to. He was just going. And then, a woman from home said, in verse 25, she had 12 years, she had been worse. Now, from Israel, from the law, she could not touch anybody because she's called unclean. So a lot of laws were broken here anyway. So here she says, she heard of Jesus. Now, what would she have heard? What would she have heard? Now, I know I've taught this before on how to receive, and I mentioned to you that what you hear is very important to what you believe. That's why, was it Sunday I said this in church, first or second service, that imagine if all we listen to, who can remember, is the word of God, do you think we'll ever sing? If all you listen to is the word of God, that's all. You don't know any other thing but the word. There will be no desire to do wrong. Because desires need information. You need to know something to desire it. So when you say, well, there's too much teaching of God's word, that means you want to live in sin. Because if you actually listen much to the word of God, that will be your desire in life. Now, when it comes to ministers of the gospel, what you hear about them is important. Now, I submit to you that as at Mark 5, it's not everything about Jesus that was palatable. Some things were not nice. No, some things were awful about him. Not everything was okay. You see, but she heard about Jesus. What must she have heard that made her touch his clothes? Now, there are three different things going around about Jesus. When we get to the gift of healings, you will discover why. Now, I used to, because, I mean, I was trained both ways. My first flair in ministry was evangelistic in nature. When you say evangelist, you know what I'm saying? Preach, you know, and do signs and wonders. Later, I settled down to teaching. Now, along the line of teaching, I had a small problem. I never liked someone coming out. I mean, and I discovered that someone would just come and say, Jesus appeared to me. And then they'll tell you stories of how when they preach somewhere, the blind saw, and I didn't like it. I never liked it. I said, what's all that? It's about Jesus. It's about talk about Jesus. I discovered that those folks got results. Why? Because when it comes to healing, you must point the sick to where the power is. You must point the sick to where the power is. Brother Higgin said that. How many of you know Kenneth Higgin? Raise your hand if you know him. How many do not know Kenneth Higgin? So I can pray for you. You must know Kenneth Higgin. Kenneth E. Higgin. Right? He's not around. Don't say, I'm not beginning to church on Sunday. Kenneth Higgin has gone to be with the Lord 2003. Okay? But you must know Kenneth Higgin. If you know me, I don't know Kenneth Higgin, there's a problem. That means you've not been listening to me at all. Or you have listened to the end of the teaching at the beginning. Okay. Now, Kenneth Higgin said that Jesus told him, when he appeared to him in 1937, that he had anointed him to heal the sick and all that. 1954, sorry. Now, he told him that anywhere he gets to minister, that he should always tell people about that vision. I didn't like it. Why? That we don't need to hear that to be healed. Or actually, we need to. She heard about Jesus. What did she hear? I'll tell you. Jesus had sent people out. Who talked about him? What did they say? Peter told us, Acts 10:38, that the word that filled the whole of Judea and Jerusalem was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And with power, went about doing good. So she heard that. So when she heard about Jesus, she now said, if I touch his clothes, I will be whole. So she heard about Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. That woman hearing about Jesus is not the same thing you and I hearing about Jesus. Now, if I'm going to hear about Jesus, I will hear about how Jesus died, you know, is the word of God. Christ is the expression of all things. Oh, John 1:1. And you are explaining, what you? Ejoko. What she heard about Jesus was that Jesus healed the sick. She didn't bother to know, you know, that blind, they said, are you sure it's not of Beelzebub? He said, look, me, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is that I was blind, now I can see. See, that's what she heard. So, because the gifts of healings are situated somewhere, it is located. You see, it's not like power. You test it, it's there. It's not that it's not there. It is there. Whether you use it or not, does not change the fact that it was always there. So, she heard about Jesus, and she came in behind the press that she would touch his clothes. As she did it, instantaneously, the fount of her blood dried up, and she was healed. And the Bible says, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Knowing that virtue had left him. Now, I know people have twisted that. You know, when I used to travel around to preach, mind you, I preached in almost every state in Nigeria, besides one. You know. So when I was, don't let me mention that. I was not saying the wrong thing, you know. And as soon as I finished preaching, they want to pray for me, and they all shed their hands. Virtue has left him. Let virtue return. Very silly. You know. As though, after Jesus, after that woman was, Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? You understand? The thing is like, it's like muscle power. Is actually the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? I will see it later. So, now, the power actually left Jesus for the woman. That means the power was where? Was with Jesus. So the power is located somewhere. So when it comes to healing, power must come from somewhere to somewhere. That's important. Let's look at another instance. Luke 6. Are you learning something? Luke 6. So she heard. We'll look at that instance though. What did she hear? There's something about what you hear. You know, some people say, he's a fake healer. He's fake. Some people are getting healed. Do you understand? Because what they are listening to are different things. Amen. Jesus, what they are listening to is just different. Remember Benihim? You know, Benihim went to India. And they gave a restriction. They said he cannot preach. That's what they said. He cannot preach. This was after they had done the flyer. People had been notified. They said he cannot preach. That there was a lot of, in fact, there was a lot of restriction and all that. They said there's no problem. That he will not preach. Because, you know, the power is located somewhere. You know what he just did? He said he will sing. So he began to sing. He was just worshipping. You know, Indians like singing. You know, Damendra, Amtab. He was just singing. People came up wheelchair. Blind eyes were opening. So the governor of that town said, you must come back and preach. If you are singing and this can happen, you have to now preach. In that program, that crusade, they said altogether over 3 million people came. Of course, it is India. So don't begin to look at Lagos. It is India. In India, there are about 1 billion. That's almost the whole of Africa in one country. You know. So when the rapture happens, you know where the greater things will happen. Amen. So, why? Okay, Luke 6. So it's all about what you hear. It's all about what you hear. Amen. A woman once went for a Kenneth Hagin meeting. And then Brother Hagin just spoke about keeping the switch of faith turned on. And he prayed for her. She was on the wheelchair. She went home. And she kept saying that Brother Hagin is anointed by the Holy Spirit. He has laid hands on me. Power has come into my body. I am healed. She kept saying that. She kept saying that. So she got to the healing line and the cloth line. She was supposed to spread her cloth. She said, if I'm healed, I should be up. She just got up on the wheelchair now. Now, when did the power get into her body? When Brother Hagin laid hands on her. Whether Brother Hagin felt it or not. Jesus did not feel power. Don't think that he felt. See? We'll see what happened. Amen? Luke 6. So, when it comes to receiving, you know, I've talked about honor before. And I always talk about honor. Yeah, who read my Facebook post today? Because that fellow minister, except William Kenyon, E.W. Kenyon. The people have asked me, you know, who is the most profound teacher I've ever listened to in my life? I say E.W. Kenyon. That's the most profound I've ever listened to. Who is the teacher that has ever established me the most? Kenneth Hagin. But the most profound. Who do I call the most intelligent teacher I've ever listened to? Fred Price. So I'm a very strange person. I have different definitions for different people. You know? Now, the way people have... See, that lack of knowledge we have about redemption today is how that man was treated. Just like today in Nigeria. Many of you don't know Idahosa. You heard about Idahosa. I think it's one drunken sailor that wears agbada and wears cap. But they will never tell you that he was the one that broke the ground for Pentecostal Christianity till date. Nobody will tell you. Which is what we need to know. Because we need to hear the right thing about people. Amen. Now, Luke 6. Luke 6. Are you there? Verse 17. He came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be what? Healed of their... So they had a specific reason. They came to hear him and to be healed. We'll look at that. Hear and be healed. Now, verse 18. Let's take verse 18 and 19 together. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went power out of him, and healed them all. They sought to touch him.
They wanted to touch him. Now, I can tell you something. This happened after the case of the woman with the issue of blood. So, one thing just opened up. So, they just thought, look, it wasn't a question of, let him pray for me, don't worry, let me just touch him. So, the power was located somewhere. As long as you can put your tester and put your plug, you will receive. So when it comes to the gifts of healings, the power is somewhere. Now, look at Acts 5. You know, for instance, if Jesus was like Pastor Adeboye now, and he just come there and say, I didn't go there to look for a man. You are sick. You are physically sick now. I'm physically ill. I'm not going to church to search for a man. I want to turn my attention on Jesus. You know you will remain sick for a while because you will have to be walking by faith. You'll have to learn the faith principle, believe, say, focus on the redemptive work. It will take a while. And you know, along the line, doubts will come. But if you focus on Pastor Adeboye, because that's where the power is, you'll be healed. Are you learning something? He said, it's Jesus I came to see. And he said, and then Pastor Adeboye is talking about how when he went from a meeting in Trinidad and Tobago, somebody was healed. He said, I don't like what these people are talking about themselves. Let me hear about Jesus. Interestingly, there's enough about Jesus in your Bible. Anyway, praise God. Go and look for the red letter. Matthew, Mark, and John. So you must know where the power is. Look at Acts 5. Now, this happened after Ananias and Sapphira, you know, knew where the power was too. And they fell down and, you know, gave up the ghost. In verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So they heard. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest of no man joined to them, but the people magnified them. And so the people magnified who? Huh? They magnified who? The entire church? The apostles now. So people saw them as, hey! These guys? Hey! They magnified them. And the Bible says, and you know, in so much, and the believers were more, multitude of men, both men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick onto the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And came also a multitude out of the cities around about Jerusalem, bringing the sick folks, and they were invoked virtues on clean spirits, verse 16, and they were healed everyone. Now look at what happened. They started seeing the apostles as my. Yeah? These are the same guys they harassed in the temple, I mean, in the synagogue. They said, yeah. Have you heard? So they saw them as anointed men. So they said, look, if their shadow is their shadow that I need, and they were healed. Why? Because the gifts of the power gifts are what? They are located somewhere. You know, he said that the shadow of every believer. He said the apostles, Peter. Why did they single out Peter? Because it was Peter that spoke to Ananias and Sapphira. You know, the said, that Peter is a killer. He didn't say that. They saw it as the power of God. So, when it comes to power, it has a location. Don't forget that. Acts 19:11. Amen? Amen. Acts 19:11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. From his body. From his body. So who will just go like this? So where's Paul? Where is he? Say, don't worry, I'm a new creature too. Say, I'm a word man. Yes, sir. Say, where's Paul? See, see that here. That was your name. Took it. Now don't forget, it wasn't Paul that was sending it around with business card. They say, this handkerchief. Hey! I know a man that was selling it in Lagos. You know, and they said, you should buy it for 10,000. Don't worry. If you don't have 10,000, join 2525, 2525, 2525. You'll take it to 4. That one is, what that one is doing is, handkerchief was taken for his body to put sickness, disease, and demons. It's called covetousness. Do you understand? They actually just put it. It wasn't Christians that were doing it. Christians will have been looking at the theology of putting handkerchiefs on a fellow believer. Is that not idol worship? Look at it very well. This is what Aaron did. And if they explain and they are sick. But these people just went there. They knew where the power was. And put it. And on the sick. Because the power is located somewhere. Amen. I'll show you one more. 2 Kings 3. So 2 Kings 13. Are you learning something? Don't worry, I will expand it next week. This is just an intro. 2 Kings 13. Amen. You know, this is going to be an interesting study. Praise God. I'm trying to see whether we can study every healing testimony, you know, in the four Gospels and the Epistles and the Acts of the Apostles. We want to study the differences, how the gifts of healings worked. Should we do that? Are you sure? We look at the issue of water. Somewhere you see people in water say, this guy is demonic. You better get healed. Amen. 2 Kings 13. There's only one thing that can happen. It's either you are healed or you remain sick. And see, any further prolonging of that will not prolong your days. I always tell people, you know, sometimes I say, I'm believing God. And he's believing God. And I say, look, you know what? Let's get you okay first. The way you are, I can't see faith. You know, Bible says, Paul, see, perceiving the man had faith to be healed. What I see here is a giddy. We'll see that later. He wants to prove a point. You know, there's no point to prove we are all one and the same in Christ. 2 Kings 13. Elisha had died. Okay? He was dead. That is, the spirit of Elisha had left his body. The spirit of Elisha had left his body. What happened? The Bible says in verse 20, and Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. It came to pass, verse 31, 2 Kings 13. As they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones. Now, if it was not his sepulchre, we'll say, well, God just moved. The bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. How come Elisha did not get up? It was the man that was sick that got up. We'll see that later. So the very bones, that means there was residual power. There was a man, 1966 or so, 66. I'll mention his name here. The man was so anointed. So anointed that they said they had never seen anybody since Bible days that had the gift of revelation like the man. And the way the gift of healing worked was so tremendous. You know, great man. One time he was preaching. And I said, God has creative ability that I also do. He said, let there be a rabbit. And the Bible says. And history said that a rabbit just appeared. It just happened. Someone said, is that true? I'm not sure you're a believer. Amen. I believe it. Praise God. Do you understand? Now, the man that was, he had an accident. Imagine, he had an accident. He did. I know. And there's somebody now, he didn't die. Was, you know, half paralyzed. But there was somebody who was in the car with him that died. And they put his hands on the man that died, and the man came up from the dead. And he was sick. He eventually died. Praise God. You shouldn't be bothered about that. Peter did not know that they were using his shadow to get healed. Did he? Did he know? Did he know? Did he ask for information? Peter didn't say, hey, today my shadow is coming. No, they just decided that his shadow had power. Praise God. So when it comes to the gifts of healings, it has a location. It can be stored. It is actually stored. It's an endowment. It's an endowment. It is somewhere. So, when it comes to the power gifts, it deals with ability. A dynamic ability that causes change. Acts 1:8 tells us where the power came from. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Acts 4:33, with great power gave the resurrection, the apostles, the witness of resurrection, and great grace was upon them. With great power. Where did the power come from? Jesus told them, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Ghost will come upon them. Ephesians 1:19, it says, and you will know the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of the mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, verse 20, and set him at his own right hand. Now, chapter 3, verse 20 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above whatever we ask or think, he says, according to the power that is at work in us. So, power is resident somewhere. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and does not be saved. He that believes not is condemned and damned. This sign shall fall them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take anything that is not of them, they shall take up serpents. So they shall lay hands on the sick. You don't look at that statement. It didn't say they shall pray for the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick. So whoever he's talking to must have resident ability to do it. Whoever he's talking to must have resident ability to do it. Now, let me say something. There is authority when it comes to the sick. And there's power. In Luke 9:2, the Bible says, Jesus gave them authority and power. So there is the come out in Jesus' name. That's authority. They are given the command. There is now the power that literally goes to make it happen. Jesus gave them Luke 9:1-2. Go and check that. They are going to go into all that later. There's authority over sickness. And there is now the power that drives out sickness. Now, look at this. Do you know that in Mark 5, please look up, I want to say something now. In Mark 5, you won't readily see authority there. Because nobody said anything but the woman. Same thing in Luke 6:19. Same thing in Acts 5. It was the power that worked. No, now Jesus has said, be healed. They have said, well, Jesus gave an instruction. That was authority. It was power. The power was somewhere. It was somewhere. Power is tangible. John G. Lake says that, here's the way he says it, that electricity is the power of God in the natural. That the same way you see electricity, that's the way the power of God is. The healing power. So the healing power is tangible. Say with me, the healing power is tangible. Okay. A look at Mark 5 again. Jesus, you know, said, who touched me? Perceiving that virtue had left him. That's a word of knowledge. Now that's sometimes, you know, I've seen some people say, someone just got healed of cancer. Now, that's a word of knowledge that points you to where the power went to. All that word of knowledge did was to tell you the direction of the power. Because power is located, power can be given direction. The gifts of healings can be directed. I remember somebody talking about how a man of God, you know, Now, there are two people that did it. One I know, the other I don't know. You know, that they will see people and they will do like this. Look at this. And all that. Now, the other person, I don't know him. Both in the spirit and in the flesh. But the one that I know is a Christian. You know. Amen. I did like this. Now, I told someone when I was discussing somewhere, I said, look, I've ministered like that before. Said, eh. Remember, we go to one. You know. Went to meet someone like that. And he says he's healed. And he threw the guy against the wall. Boa! Boa! The guy was healed. That's the most important thing. Healed. Amen. Remember, somebody was deaf and dumb. I said, open your mouth. The guy opened his mouth. And I spat into a pop, pop. I mean, if I do that on television, national television, there will be a court case. It's called, I was harassing the man. I was violating his fundamental human rights. Money man never cared. As long as he spoke and he heard. Amen. We'll see that. The power is actually located somewhere. So Jesus knew. So sometimes someone healed of this. Now, that's not. Now, there's someone here who is sick or so and so, and then you minister to the person. I'm not talking about that. Well, actually, by the word of God, you know somebody just got healed of something. Okay, remember this case of Peter? And he was there. He had slept off. He had a kneecap problem. So, you know, it was, you know, when the Holy Ghost came, it was a long meeting. So the guy was sleeping. He was sleeping. We're not much in the room, oh, lest you want to find out. He was sleeping. I just said, someone just healed of a knee problem. I just said it. Someone got healed of a knee problem. I just said, oh, anybody that was not sleeping was looking like it. We just started there. His name was Samson. Not the Samson you all know. He said, Samson. Was that, what's that praying? Then, do you have anything? He said, yes. And I said, he's healed. How come? He wasn't believing God, though. Praise God. That's the gift of healing. Praise the Lord. He wasn't saying, I confess that I believe in my heart. It's mine. He wasn't saying that. Does it mean God just did it without his permission? No, relax. This is a series. Amen. It's called series. It has part 1, part 2. So if you miss part 2 and you come for part 8, you are likely not to have gotten the answer. Except to buy the series. Amen. So the healing power is somewhere. It can be transferred. It can be stored. You know, Jesus gave them power. He transferred it. So they actually went everywhere and then the power was in manifestation. Pray for us softly. We'll close here. So there's something about understanding these things. Amen. Understanding these things. You know what I heard about Ayo Babalola? How we go to a place and pray over water. Someone say, God doesn't move like that again. Says who? Jesus moved like that. Amen. One of the things that you will see, the gifts of healing does not respect theology. It doesn't. It's an endowment. I know a fellow one time that said, look, I'm too tired. I can't pray for the sick today. I'm too tired. That's what he said. I'm so tired. He said, you know what? Ask them to line up. So he took a rock, like a sheet, sat upon it, and said, if you are sick, come and sit on it, and you'll be healed. Then he walked away. And everyone who sat on that rock got healed. If you ask that fellow to come and teach about divine healing, the things he will say, you almost flog him. You almost flog him. This is not God. Amen. So there's something about learning about these things. Learning about them. Now, you know something? I'm not teaching about how to be healed. We're actually talking about how to minister it. Because we're talking about you understanding it. But you know, in knowing how to minister it, you know how to also receive. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Somebody came to me in 1994. Had a brother that had not gotten up from the bed over 14 days. He said, what do you have? You know, and I was used to praying on clock. He said he had a pen. Remember the guy's name is Bolade Alebioshu. I think right now he's in the university. He was a young boy. And he got a pen. He said, a yellow pen, I won't forget. He said, this is all you believe for. I said, yes, and I prayed on it. Just prayed on it. You know, when I was praying on it, don't think I sensed, I just said in the name of Jesus, anywhere this pen goes to, it will drive out demons and sicknesses in the name of Jesus. Amen. And he went. And the boy instantaneously got up. Remember one time I was praying for your niece. And I was praying on the cloth for her niece. And I said, there's someone also around this house who is sick. Something about the gift of healing is that it works a lot of times with the word of knowledge. Praise God. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet, give God praise. I'm done. So come next week, amen. It's a series. Let's bless the Lord. Thank you.